Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. You're here in a series of podcasts, Bible books in 10 minutes or less. And if we thought the Bible was a very long book with a lot in it, which is true, though it really is brief and to the point compared to many ancient writings. And we have come to Paul's letter to Philemon. Sometimes he is called Philemon. You will have to live with me calling him Philemon because that's how I like to say it. It's such a short book, it is 25 verses, that I can read it to you, and it goes like this. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, although I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this is perhaps why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, before we ask ourselves what exactly is going on in this letter, this wonderful letter that is a personal letter to Mr. Philemon, addressed to the church in his house, certainly read out in the church and treasured through the years. It is evidence of the sort of life that Paul was living, both his imprisonment and the fellow workers and his contact with the churches. I want to give you this one key verse, which is important for us. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. It's verse 6. It is about sharing your faith. And he prays that the sharing of their faith would be effective. You have a faith to share, my friend. If you are not able to talk theology, and if you can't memorize all the Bible verses, you can say to someone, you can say, look, I hear your problem. When I had this problem, one like yours, or a very serious problem, my faith helped me in this way. Or when I'm faced with a difficulty like this, I rely on my faith, and this is what it does in my life. You can share your faith. You can share your living experience with Jesus Christ. And I think if Paul is praying that it is effective, it is safe enough to assume that it's quite in God's will and with the aims of the Holy Spirit that this sharing of the faith would be effective. Frankly, one of the difficulties with the spreading of Christianity and the gospel news to all the world is that Christians haven't been sharing their faith very much. Another problem is that we simply don't have many friends outside the church if we've been believers for a very long time. So we need to think about sharing our faith. But this faith changes us. That is what comes across in Paul's letter. And I appreciate N.T. Wright in starting his work on the faithfulness of God. He looks at the letter to Philemon. He compares it to a similar letter. Both letters had the same subject. A runaway slave is being returned. It is clear from the letter, referring to Philemon as a bondservant and as something who Paul had but didn't want to retain without Philemon's permission. Onesimus, this one that is named, is a bondservant. He's a slave to Mr. Philemon. Slavery in ancient times was lower tier employment. It was not connected with race at all. It was not particularly cruel. If you were sent to the salt mines or to row the galleys, this was essentially punishment, which was expected to result in your death. Slaves were just merely, they were working for free so as to have room and board and a place to be and a legal status of some sort, though certainly not the status of a free man or a citizen. This is the world that Paul works in, but he is telling Philemon, look, Onesimus came to see me. He has been helpful to me. Onesimus has become a brother in the Lord. He believes now. I'm sending you back this Mr. Onesimus, and I want you to be kind with him. Now, N.T. Wright compared this letter to another prominent Roman, not that Paul was a prominent Roman, a prominent Roman wrote to one of lower status about a slave and says, you know, go easy on him, receive him back without a lot of fuss. Do it as a favor to me. Well, of course, if somebody important asks you to do something like that, and letters were a lot more public during that day anyway, what else could you do but agree? But when the Roman writes the letter, everybody's still in the same position. He is the top dog, there's the middle person, and there's the slave, still very much a slave, and going to be treated like that. And there would always be the question of what was owed. You would technically owe something for the lost work that was given. If you had stolen anything to aid your escape, and it was, you probably would, since you risked punishment by death if you were caught. What did you have to lose by stealing a little bit? There was all this to clear up. Paul is telling Philemon to receive Onesimus back. It's clear that Paul wants Onesimus to be freed, but at any rate, under whatever status he's in, he is a brother in the Lord. That is something the very class-sensitive Roman Empire did not do. Say, just because we have a same philosophical outlook, this person is a brother to you who was formerly a slave, just simply wasn't done. Paul sees the gospel as changing all these categories of status and all these ways of living. He is not a just let's live the same way we always lived kind of guy. Now the key verse I want to give you is in 15 and 16 so that you can hear it again. For this is perhaps why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Something has happened because of Jesus Christ that makes the earlier distinctions, makes the difference of wealth, makes the difference of privilege, makes the difference of law, no longer applying to the Christian. We are all one in Christ Jesus. The last key verse I want to give you is verse 20. It says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. We wonder where church discipline has gone. Are people supposed to live by the rules? Paul has a rule. You need to show love. You need to show as an extreme and life-changing generosity. And I have the authority to command you to it. Not necessarily because anybody elected Paul a leader in the church, but they all know what God has done in Jesus Christ, what God has done in Paul and through Paul, and he has this authority. Now, a challenge I want to give you is to ask yourself, who is a brother or sister in Christ that you can welcome better, overlooking differences of class and background? A beautiful church is where one poor woman who has had a past and all kinds of a past, worships together, side by side, with another woman who has never done anything particularly appalling and is well off and well respected. They all belong in the same church. They are all brothers and sisters in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, this has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church and the podcast series, Bible Books in 10 Minutes or Less. The next one up in the series is the letter to the Hebrews, as we leave behind the letters that Paul wrote and move on. I hope that your life is blessed today. Amen.